Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house, and happy Father's Day to Mike. Mike is the father over this house, and Mike, I just want to honor you for being a good father to us, for giving me the opportunity to speak. I think he did that because he feels like that's part of my destiny, that's part of the call that God has for me, and that's what he does for all of you. So thank you, Mike. And Mike asked me to speak on the Holy Spirit. I see that yawn, Corey. I'll try to make it more interesting. The Holy Spirit. Actually, the Holy Spirit is a very fascinating topic because he's the experiential part of God. He's the power of God, and it's kind of like if you have a computer that can, you know, do all these amazing applications, but you never plug it in or turn your battery on, then it's like, well, what's the point? Nothing can happen. It's kind of how we are without the Holy Spirit. Or you have a car and you don't have an engine. Well, it's not going to work. Or you get a new house and you have all this fancy lighting put in and stuff, and there's no power. Well, there's no light. There's no warmth. So the Holy Spirit is kind of like that energizer of God. And I'm excited to be able to share that with you. I'm going to say a lot of things, and I want you to... My prayer, I'm going to pray that... Whatever it is that you need to hear, that's what you'd hear today. So just open your hearts and let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're so much here with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which you've sent to be with us. Lord, I pray that each one of us will hear what we need to hear from you today. That it won't just be one more sermon, Lord, but that we'll have... we'll learn truths that will take us to deeper experiences with you so that we can change the world. Thank you, Lord, that your scripture says that the Holy Spirit is present everywhere, all-knowing, that he gives great power, that he's the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that he works miracles, that he gives spiritual life. That's what we want to experience, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the creator, the one who gives life, the one who guides God's people. The one who instructs and teaches, the one who makes the written word come alive, the one who led our forefathers in the faith, the one who inspires prophets. Holy Spirit, and we have that chance to know you. Thank you, Lord. That's what we want to do. Lord, you're the one, your Holy Spirit teaches and comforts and counsels and hears and speaks of you and encourages. And he's the one that convicts of sin. And your word says that you pray for us, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You send us out on missions. You experience grief. We can grieve you. You can be resisted. We can test you. But thank you that you always want to draw near to us. And you want to draw us into a closer experience with the Father. So manifest your presence here today. And let us hear what we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so hey, today the Heavenly Father has a gift for you. Come on. How many of you like gifts? Yeah? You're okay with gifts? The good kind of gift, right? Like, that $20 was quite something. So something I've noticed looking at father-son relationships or father-child relationships is that there is a way in which children like to get gifts from their father. And children are always asking for stuff from their dads. How many of you, like, had dads that you asked for stuff from? I know I would ask my dad for money. So there's this thing in my house. I grew up studying French as a second language, as did my sister and my mom. But my dad didn't speak any French. So he would kind of feel left out if we'd start, like, trying to practice French. And he wouldn't know what we were saying. And I said, it's okay, Dad. I'll teach you a few words. Bonjour, that's good morning. And argent. That's money. So anytime I want some money, I can go to you and say, argent, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Then you can give me money. But anyway, that's a feature of father-son relationships is asking. And throughout my talk today, I'm going to pose several questions. If you're taking notes, you can write down the questions and think on them and journal on them later, answer them. But one of the questions is, what are you asking God for? Are you asking God for anything? What are you asking God for? Because if that's part of your father-daughter, father-son relationship, then you need to be asking something. What are you asking God for? Are you living in a place of asking? He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I have to ask myself, do I really believe that? Because, you know, I'm going treasure hunting, and I'm like, okay, God, give me some clues, God, of who you want to reach today. And he says, okay, how about a lady in a blue skirt with, you know, this kind of top? And then I walk, and I see a lady like that, and I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm like, well, did I believe when I asked it, you know? So what are you asking God for? Let's look at Luke 11, 9. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, Jesus says, so I say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. What father among you, and this is a question for the fathers among us. So which of you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Anyone? Any of the fathers here? No. If you read the Message Bible, it says, if your little boy asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If your little girl asks for fish, would you give her a serpent or something like that? It's very cute. But anyway, or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts, gifts that are to their advantage, to their children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? So we see that the Holy Spirit is a good gift that the Father wants to give. And it talks about asking and continuing to ask for the Holy Spirit. To me, that means you never arrive. You never are like, okay, you know what? I received the Holy Spirit when I, you know, became born again. I received the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm done. It's like, no, there's a continual asking and a continual filling. If you look at Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't be drunk on wine. You might want to take that to heart. Don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And if you look at the root of that word, it's a continuous, ongoing filling. Present continuous tense. Continue being filled with the Spirit. So if you look at Jesus' life, we're told in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So I'm thinking, if Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power, how much more me? How much more you? How much more we need that? And I just want to encourage us to keep on asking for more of the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus in Luke 4, 18 to 19, where he, after he's filled, well, this is his mission statement. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So this is one of my questions for you. What is your mission statement? What are you doing? In what places are you preaching good news to the poor, or are you bringing freedom to the prisoners? You know, what are you doing? What's your mission statement? Because the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to accomplish that. And he wants to show you what it is that he has specifically for you to do. Then Jesus in John 16, verse 7, he said, it's good that I go away. He's telling his disciples this. Oh, it's really good that I go away. They're like, really? But he says, unless I go away, the helper or the counselor, the advocate, the comforter will not come. So he thought it was good that he would go away, that the Holy Spirit would come. And when he appeared to his disciples, if you read the beginning of Acts, he appears to his disciples, it says, after he resurrected. And I wonder how that is. Like, did he just like, poof, he's here. Like, you know, you're eating supper or something and then, poof, he's here. I don't know. But anyway, he appeared to his disciples and he told them, my Father has a gift for you. That's Acts 1:8, and to wait for the gift. And he says, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on you in power, and you'll be my witnesses to the end, near and far, to the ends of the earth. So you have the day of Pentecost. They're in the room, and you've read the story. We were celebrating Pentecost last week. There's a blowing wind, there's all this wind, there's tongues of fire, there's people speaking in tongues, people seeming drunk, which I imagine kind of seem like laughter, slobbering, you know, motor control problems, you know, seeming drunk, right? And people are like, wow, what's happened to them? And it's like Peter stands up and explains that this is what Jesus talked about. This is what the Old Testament, God said in the Old Testament, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all people. There'll be dreams, visions, prophecy, wonders, salvation. So if you read through the rest of the book of Acts, which you're supposed to be doing, and you look at their lives, you see stuff like Peter has this boldness. They have this boldness. Normal days become supernatural because in Acts 3, there's a story of Peter and John as they are walking to the temple to do their, you know, religious duties and pray and whatever, and they see a crippled guy who's a beggar man at the gate, and they heal him. They say to him, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I think, how many times did they walk past that guy before that? I don't know. Probably countless. I'm sure he's been there a long time. But this day, after that empowerment by the Holy Spirit, they are healing him. And when you read through the book of Acts, you see healings. You see them witnessing to people. You see people speaking in tongues, prophesying, preaching, praying, giving away money and property. And so the question is that a picture of my life? Is that a picture of your life? Do you operate in that level of Holy Spirit where that's what you're doing? We see them counting it joy in suffering. We see them giving praise in the midst of hardship. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to do. Is that a picture of your life? And if it's not, we need to ask for more of the Holy Spirit and begin to operate in that. So, I wrote down, let me cut to the chase. If you have never asked the Holy Spirit to come run your life, and if you've never decided to submit to his leadership, this is your day to do that. Seriously, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, that means that the Holy Spirit has come into you, because it's not actually like Jesus in bodily form that comes into you, right? You probably knew that. But but it's the Spirit of Christ that comes into your heart. And so he's already in your heart. But this is the day, if you've done that, to ask for more, to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how do you do this continuous infilling that he's talking about. But note, you never arrive. You never get to the point where it's like, oh, I have enough Holy Spirit. I don't need anymore. I married my husband about 14 years ago. And I never wake up one day and say, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm done. No, there's still always more to discover, always more relationship to deepen, stuff for us to go do together, to partner in certain things, you know, influencing our house and going and having fun and influencing our community, doing ministry stuff. And that's how our relationship with the Holy Spirit is like that. He wants to keep going deeper and deeper with us. So I wanted us to look at Romans 8. 5-8, and she's going to put it up for me. And I just wondered if we could read that together. It's up there. So, could we read it aloud together? Ready? For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. Oh, because I was talking about the Holy Spirit, I just wanted you to underline and bold that word holy. There's something he's holy and set apart, and that's the level of sanctification. That's the level, the kind of life that he calls us to live, and he's the one that empowers us to do that. But you see there that we have some kind of choice about what we set our mind on. And so my question to you is, what are you setting your mind on? Are you setting your mind on things of the flesh or things of the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit wants to empower you, but we have a part in this. It's up to us to rely on him and to set our minds on him. I think of this passage from Isaiah 55 where he says, come all who are thirsty, come. And he says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. So I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to have like this boring, normal, boring, entertainment-filled life. I want to have something that really satisfies. I want to eat what is good and have my soul delight in that kind of feast. But let's go on. Romans 8, this is continuing on, 9 to 11. Thank you. Let's read that together. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Man. Now, did you see in there that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you? Did you see that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you? And he'll give life to your body in the end. But my question is, until we get there, what are you doing with the Spirit of God that's living inside of you? I just want to motivate you to really fulfill to ask God to show you what he has for you to do and to really fulfill those calls on your life, because you have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living in you. And I've heard it, you know, I've heard the question, what is the wealthiest place on earth? Anybody knows? Where? Monaco? Dubai? Yeah, I've heard Dubai too. And I've heard it said that the richest place on earth is actually the cemetery. Because in the cemetery are all the things that people died with. All the dreams, all the books they were supposed to write that they never wrote, all the songs they never sang, all the business ideas that they didn't step out and implement, and all the treasure that God put inside them to reach somebody else that they kind of like, I don't know, not today. And I was like, oh, Lord, forgive us for being so complacent and let us not step back and take our dreams with us to the grave. If you go back to the first use of the words Holy Spirit in the Bible, if you go to Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the words Spirit of God there are Ruah Elohim, and it's translated 180 times as Spirit, Ruah. As spirit, 92 times as wind, and 32 times as breath. So spirit, wind, and breath. Okay, it's not a breath of wind caused by God, but it's actually the creative Spirit of God, which worked over the waters, preparing it for the Word of God, which is going to come and speak creative life. So if you look at Psalms 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath, or the ruah, of his mouth. Or Job 33:4, the Spirit, which is the breath of God, has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. So do you realize that the Holy Spirit is the creative Spirit of God? And Celia mentioned that this morning. He is the creative. He empowers the creativity in us. He is the gift of creativity. And I just wanted to say, like, are there areas of your life where you've held back on your creativity because God wants to blow in those things in your life? There's songs that you got to write, or pictures you got to paint, or inventions you got to discover, or solutions for practical stuff in your house or in your community. All of these things that the creative Spirit of God wants to empower in you. I have a friend who, she got saved by reading a prayer on the back of something that somebody gave her, and she just read it and said, you should pray and invite Jesus into your heart. So she did. And then, you know, she'd spend time with God, but she wasn't really in the Word. And one time she felt like God was saying, oh, just breathe me in. And she felt like this breath coming into her. And then after that, she noticed that she would like pray, and then she would start praying so fast, she'd run out of words, and she'd start praying in this stuff that she didn't know. But she didn't know what it was. Just like, huh. And then after that happened for a while, she eventually found somebody she could ask, and she said, has it ever happened to you? You just pray so fast, you run out of words, and they were like, oh yeah, that's speaking in tongues. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She was like, oh, is that what that has a name? Is that what that is? So I just want to say, God will work with you wherever you are, whatever you know, right? But we see in Genesis 1:2 that he hovered over the waters. And the word hover means to brood over, to hover with a gentle wavering or fluttering motion, like a bird hovering over her young. Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, that's reference to Israel, and there was no foreign God with him. This is a reference to the Lord being like an eagle and hovering over his people. And I found it interesting because that's a similar word that was used when he hovered over the waters in Genesis 1. And my question to you, you know, I got a lot of questions for you today. What is God hovering over in your life? Because he wants to hover over some stuff and bring life and empowerment to it. What area of your life is he hovering over? What area of your life do you need light to be brought into? Do you need truth to be brought into? Do you need a fresh breath of his life? He's hovering over some things. Let him hover over them and invite him deeper in. And interestingly, we're made in God's image, right? So even as the Holy Spirit hovers over stuff, we too, as human beings, can hover and brood over stuff. Have you ever heard somebody like brooding over something? You've heard that phrase? You know, they're just like thinking about it. And when I got to thinking about this, I've learned that we are mostly, like our bodies are like 60 to 80% water. Okay? So, and our brain is about 80% water, that's what they say. So in each of us, we carry a lot of water. So as the Holy Spirit brooded over those waters, I think with our thoughts and our speech, we can brood over things. And the question is, what are you brooding over? And what are you brooding over in your own life and in the lives of the people around you? And I wanted to show you a short clip from YouTube of some experiments that were done where this guy took water and he photographs water crystals. He takes them from a polluted river, he photographs it, then he has people pray over it, and he takes a picture of that and he shows you the difference. Hold on. So, all right, I'll shut up. So that's the label that he put on the water, and that's the crystal that appeared. So when he thought thank you over the water, that's the crystal that appeared, etc. So the people who've done this research are not Christian. But we have the Spirit of God living in us. Imagine how much more power our thoughts and our words can have on us and those around us. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, noble, of good report, think on such things. We're commanded to be obedient to God in our thoughts. Our thoughts affect our body chemistry. They affect our environment and our atmosphere and the people around us. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death, or the power of life and death is in the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. If you look in James, it talks a lot about the tongue and your words, and blessings and cursings come out of the same mouth. Those things shouldn't be what happens. So what are you thinking? How obedient to what's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report are you in your thoughts and in your speech? And if you're not, just know that the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to walk in a place where you can live in that better place. Colossians 1:29. Paul says, "To this end I labor also, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." The NIV says, "According to his mighty energy that's at work within me." What I want you to think about when you wake up in the morning is, God, your mighty energy is at work in me. You are working in me mightily. When you step out of your car, when you go to work, your mighty energy is at work within me. When you are dealing with your kids, your mighty energy is at work within me. When you're in the grocery store, your mighty energy is at work within me. So how do you get more of the Holy Spirit anyway? So when I was a kid, you know, I received Jesus when I was a child. And so I know that it's the Holy Spirit that came in and made me a child of God. But then when I was in my early teens, I wanted more. I just was like, you know, this Christianity thing is a little boring. I gotta go to church, sit down, hear these people talk. You know, it's a little boring. And I was like, when I read the Bible or when I looked at the vast expanse of the sky and all the flowers, and I'm like, God, you can't be boring because look at all the creativity and look at all this stuff that happened in the Bible. So there's gotta be more. And I started reading Acts and reading about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit. And I read a book called They Speak with Other Tongues by John Sherrill, who was this investigator who was in a mainstream church, and they sent him out to investigate all the stuff that was happening with the Holy Spirit. And it's the story of how he came to accept all of that and what he learned along the way. So I was like, oh, well, it looks like you should just pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and get it. Okay, I'm going to try that. So I got in private. I'm like, okay, God, I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. I didn't feel nothing. It's like, okay. It's like, all right, but I know by faith, because it's a faith thing. I know by faith that I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit so I can speak in tongues. Okay, because that's what I read, right? So I started speaking, and I basically talked myself out of the whole thing. I was like, well, you know, I don't know if this is right. Meaning, you know, I'm just making this up. Sounds really weird, blah, 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 blah. Which I now recognize was the enemy, but back then I was just like, yeah, I don't know. Some weeks after that, my dad and I went to an extracurricular church service. What I mean by that is just, you know, it was like a night service somewhere. And one of the things they said was, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just go to that room over there and we'll have people praying for you. And I was like, oh, okay, here's my chance. I'm going to go try this. So I went there and they explained about it and then they prayed. And, you know, when they got to the end of the prayer, like people around me started speaking in tongues and some people were shaking and stuff. And I was like, wow, this church is just wild. There's just so much of this weird stuff. But I was like, oh, wait, I'm here to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me try to focus. And so I did. And a prayer minister came over to me and she basically prayed for me and said, you know, just go ahead, receive the Holy Spirit. Just pray. Just start praying aloud in tongues. And I did. And it took the body of Christ coming around me through her to basically encourage me and help me in that way. There are, you know, there's several evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to say that usually you know if you're baptized or not. Similar to, like, if you get water baptized, you usually know, right? And you can be water baptized and not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't make you less of a Christian or anything. It's just that, wow, there's more that God has for you. So I was like, cool. You know, I had more power to evangelize. And throughout my teens and 20s, I saw God do a lot of cool stuff just in my own circles. Then I got to the point where I was turning 30. And I said, God, you know, the big 3-0, for those of you who are young enough for that, if you remember, the big 3-0 is a big deal. But I was like, God, I want my life to count for something. I want to know that if I died, that I would have really impacted somebody. Somebody's life would be different because I was here. I'm like, yeah, you know, I know a lot of people's lives are different because I'm here. Yeah, my family loves me, which is all good. But that was my heart's cry. I want to impact somebody. And I remembered that I had seen mission trips with a guy named Randy Clark advertised. And I'm like, okay, for my 30th birthday, I want to go on a mission trip and impact somebody else's life. And so, you know, I took the training and whatever, and I went on this trip. And what happened there is that Randy and his leaders, they prayed for all of us who were on the team. And That's another way you can get more of the Holy Spirit is by having people pray for you who have soaked him in, who have different impartations and who have walked with him. There's something imparted through prayer when they lay hands on you and pray for you. Anyway, so he prayed for us and that was all cool. The first night he speaks and whatever. And then he says, now my team is going to come up to the front. And then when you come up, just tell them what you need prayer for. They're going to pray for you and you're going to be healed. And I was like, okay. I've never at this point really prayed for anyone and seen them heal. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. So when he allowed them to come up, people literally rushed up to the front. And one by one, you know, we're working with interpreters because they speak Portuguese. One by one, you know, they would tell me whatever the condition was, and I'd pray for them. Like, you know, they said, okay, I have really bad pain in my shoulders, some kind of injury, whatever. And I'd just pray for them. And they'd be like, oh, it's all gone. I was like, really? Wow, praise God. That's really cool. Thank you. Thank you, God. That's cool. But so, you know, like that would be like the first person. But then it went on and on and on. All these people, they're like, oh, yeah, the lump is gone. And I'm thinking, wow, are you guys lying to me? Oh, you have little faith, right? But I was like, but I'd never seen anything like that before. And so I was like, wow, this is really acts. Like it really, really does happen. This is amazing. This is great. So one of the nights a girl came forward. Her name's Midgia. And she said that she, when she was 6 years old, she went deaf, and she's 27, so she's been deaf for like 21 years. She had less than 10% hearing in her ears, and she wanted us to pray for her. So I was like, okay, cool, we'll pray for you. So I put my hands on her ears, and my interpreter is helping me. I'm just like, come Holy Spirit, come and heal her. Just, you know, let your healing flow, or just speak life over her ears, you know, whatever. And I'm just praying for her, and you know, she's receiving. She has her hands open. She's receiving. And then behind me on the stage, they were giving a testimony of a little girl who had never walked before that had just received healing and was going to walk across the stage to her mother. She was like about 5 years old. And so I had my hands on Midge's ears, and I turn around to watch the little girl walk across the stage. And she walked, and she walked, and she walked to her mom, and you know, people were cheering, and it was just really, really moving. It's like, wow, God, this is the Holy Spirit at work. So I still had my hands on Midja, and as I turned back around, I was saying to my interpreter, wow, you know, still had my hands on her. Midja dropped to the ground, and she started, like, shaking and crying. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what's happening. You know, okay, interpreter, could you, like, find out what's going on? You know, I missed it. So eventually Midja calms down, and she comes to, and she says, I heard a loud boom on the inside of my ears, like this loud noise that I've never heard anything like that, and I'm starting to hear. And she was looking around the room, because if you've lived in a world of silence for so long, then you're starting to hear. It's a little disconcerting. She's looking around the room at various noises, and you can see she was trying to, you know, get some kind of peace, because it was just so loud. So we kept praying for her a little bit. We tried going behind her and testing her, just, you know, calling her name. She wouldn't hear us. She couldn't hear us, but she said that she was starting to hear. And she told her friend, I can hear some of the words of the music that's playing in the background. Her friend was like, oh, you don't have to say that. It's okay. She's like, no, I really can. We're like, okay. We took her outside where it was quieter and tried testing her by calling her name from behind. She couldn't hear us, but she was like, I can hear you more. So I was like, okay, cool. Come back tomorrow and tell me how you're doing. You know, we'll pray for you some more. And that's one thing that I've learned is that don't stop praying. You know, don't stop. Just keep going. So she came back the next night, and we just continued to pray over her. We continued to try to test her. Nothing. But she said, you know, I feel warmth in my ears, or I hear popping sounds. And so I knew God was at work. I just kept praying. And then one time, one of the interpreters went behind her and called her name, and she turned around. She was like, yes, you called me? And we were so overjoyed. And we just kept doing it over and over. We just keep going behind her and calling her name. And we tried asking her other questions, like, you know, raise your right hand, you know, show us the number 3, whatever. What's your father's name? So we started doing all these tests, and there she is. She's She's hearing. 21 years of silence. Ask her to come back the next night and just tell me how she's doing, and we'll pray for her some more. And she came back the next night, and she said that as she lay in her bed on night number two, the Holy Spirit was working on her, and she said she could feel the warmth, she could hear the popping noises. And when she woke up the next day, she took up her telephone in her house. She took up the telephone in her house and called a friend and spoke to them on the phone, something she's never been able to do. And she gave her testimony and stuff, and she was going to go get checked out to see what percent her hearing was at now, but it looked like it was pretty good. And I've kept in touch with her through our interpreter because I wanted to know what happened to her. And our interpreter said, yeah, she's still doing good. As a matter of fact, Major told me herself, she's like, do you know what this means for me? Do you know I can have like a normal life? She's like, I could probably get married and have kids. She's like, I can, you know, I'll be so much better. I can get some kind of job that's really good now. And my interpreter told me that, you know, Midja was already a Christian, but she got baptized in water, and she's really following God. And her life is completely different. She had delayed speech because of her hearing problems, and she's speaking fine now. And I thought, wow, Lord, that was it. I asked for you to give me one person whose life I would really impact, and I could know that their life had really changed, and he honored that, and he answered my prayer. And what are you asking, God? You know, and I'm asking for more than that. And he delights in answering our prayers. And as you partner with the Holy Spirit, it's an amazing life. You know, do I pray for people and see them not get healed? Yeah. That's all part of the journey, learning to walk with him. But am I going to let that stop me because of the midges out there who are waiting for me to come and minister to them? And so now, you know, I've gone to lots of countries and done lots of trips, but there's my local Walmart. There's the hospital up the street from me. There's all these places. You know, there's people everywhere. There's no shortage of people. Let's put it that way. So I just want to leave you with these closing thoughts. Ask to have the Holy Spirit in you. Ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you've never had that. Exercise your right to speak in tongues and have the Holy Spirit pray through you if you've never had that. Ask for power to witness. But just ask for his Spirit more, and his baptism more, and his filling more. And then receive. And Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Actually says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. And that's another way to have the Holy Spirit more in your life, is to be giving away everything that you've received. Whatever you come on Sunday and you receive, give it away. Wherever you go, whatever you receive in your quiet time with him, give it away. That's a way to have more of him. Another way is to soak. You know, set aside a time in your schedule where you will soak with him, and that's where you, either with music or just in quiet, you just get with him. And you say, Lord, I have mentors who do this. Say, Lord, I'm not leaving this room until I sense your manifest presence. And they just stay there and wait. Just quiet themselves and wait for the Lord to show them visions or to sense his presence through his warmth or tingling. Or it's not about the physical manifestations. It's about having that experience and that encounter with him. So put it on your schedule. Set aside some time to soak with him. Get prayers of impartation. I mentioned this earlier. If you look in Acts 8 and 9 and 19, you'll see the biblical proof of that, that prayers of impartation can give you more of the Holy Spirit. Get that. There's another whole thing called practicing the presence of God, which was made popular by a guy named Brother Lawrence. And he never went on mission trips. I'm not saying you have to go on mission trips, but he decided that he would bring God into every aspect of his duties, and he was he worked in a kitchen, and he decided he would have ongoing conversation, two-way conversation with God and just focus on God at all times. There's another guy named Frank Laubach. His book is called Letters by a Modern Mystic, and he journaled stuff in the 1930s. And he talks about the same thing. He tried to turn his thoughts towards God at least once every minute. And it wasn't like a pressure thing, oh no, I have to think about God. But he made it more of a game, like, I'm going to try to bring my mind back to God. Remember that verse that we read? Set your mind on what the Spirit desires, not on what the flesh desires. So ask, receive, soak, get prayers of impartation, practice the presence, and give him away. That's my short sermon on the Holy Spirit. All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. Father, thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit on us. Lord, you say in your word that we should continually be filled with your Spirit. I ask for fresh pouring out today and fresh filling for everyone here. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will not only hover us, but will go deep into every part of our beings and impact us deeply. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, where there's seeds of creativity that you've placed within us, blow on those and let your creative flow come forth. Lord, where there's gifts of various kinds, we stir those up and we say, Holy Spirit, we want to partner with you and use those gifts for your glory. Holy Spirit, empower our thoughts and our words that we can be atmosphere changers and changers of people's lives around us. Lord, we repent where we've not given away what we've been freely given. And we say yes to you, that freely we have received and freely we will give. Lord, you know what each person needs here, how much more of you they want. And I pray that you answer their heart's desires and just give them more and more of you. And for those who have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would baptize them in your Holy Spirit and that they would know that they have received that measure of outpouring from you. It's all about you, Lord. It really is all about you. So, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name.